Hey everybody, this is Wade with Wade for Wireless, and I just wanted to talk to you guys today about some tips on qualifying your subs. I know a lot of you out there, I know a lot of you are subs, so if you are a sub, it's probably be a good thing to look at and follow, but if you have to hire subs, I thought this would be a good thing to do. I know a lot of crews, you know, a lot of companies, they have maybe one, two, three, or four crews. Sometimes you need more. Or sometimes you have guys that you just hire part-time. So what you want to do with those guys is make sure that you qualify them. Best way to do that is to make sure that they're ready when you need them, but you have to qualify them all the same first. It's not just something you say, hey, come on, work for me. I mean, it used to be that way, but now everything's got to be backed up with paperwork. You know what I mean? So if you're going to qualify them, I think I'll just start. I'll just go through a list like I have in a blog on wadeforwireless.com. So, by the way, I want to thank my sponsor, Tower Safety, www.towersafety.com, where the best get better. And they do OSHA 10. They do tower training safety, tower training and rescue. And they also do first aid and CPR training and things like that. So, now, the reason I follow another... I guess you would say not a blog, but I guess a publication, Construction Data Quarterly. And that's where I got this idea. They had tips for qualifying their contractors. So let's start with general information about the sub. I mean, you have to know about them, right? Wireless is a small industry, so chances are you should know who the company is. You know somebody that works there, you know the owner, or so on. Otherwise, they wouldn't be coming to you for business. So I'm assuming that you know them somehow. Maybe you have a relationship, maybe just from calls or talks or emails, whatever. So that's number one. You got to know who it is, obviously. So second one, get their safety and OSHA information. Ask them if they've had any citations and see what their experience modification rate for the previous 3 years was, their safety programs, their safety plans. You know, just try to understand what they're doing for safety, if they've had any OSHA citations, and also they should have rescue plans. Make sure they have a rescue plan. And the other thing you can ask them is about their meetings. You know, do they have safety meetings, what, weekly, monthly, annually? The tailgate meetings, you can ask them about that. These are all legitimate questions, and they're things you want to know about. And if they did have an accident or a citation, ask them, what happened? I mean, things happen sometimes, right? What were the circumstances? So you want to find out. Most companies about safety are very open. You know, just see how long they've been accident-free. The other thing, who is their current surety provider, the agent's name, bond rates, things like that. That's all stuff you'll need to know, especially when they're... if they're under your umbrella, you know, you want to know how well they're insured. So find out if they ever filed for bankruptcy. It matters. It could affect you if you're going in as a partner or a bid and someone does a background check, because a lot of times you have to give your contractors names and they have to be approved before you can let them on site. Find out if they have any active litigation pending. See if they have any labor law violations. I think these can usually be done with background checks, but they're pretty open. They should tell you. So if their license is or has been revoked, that's good to know. Do they have any judgments filed against them? These are all things that, you know, it's a good, you need to know. You're going, remember, this contractor, this sub is going to represent you while it's on site, represent your company. So, and then all the insurance companies up front, again, if they're under your umbrella, you want to know what they're insured for. And ask them for references, you know, try to get at least 3 references. And it's a huge deal. Chances are, if you know these people, you know other customers they've had. So I would just ask around for it. Now, the other thing, sit down with them and make sure for the job that you both understand the scope of work and the expectations. If there's a MOP that goes along with a customer, method of process, make sure they understand that too. It's very important to just hand them the scope and say, good luck. That's not going to cut it, okay? The next thing is review the bill of materials and understand who's supplying what. Understand that staging and qualifying, how it's going to be done prior to the job. I wouldn't wait till they show up and they say, hey, where are all the parts? And then you say, well, I thought you were going to pick them up. You know, you don't want that. if you have a warehouse or something or some place that everything's being staged, then you want to make it very clear to them where they have to go to pick it up. So if the company's from New York City and they're doing a job outside of New York City, but yet they have to go to Southern Jersey to a warehouse to pick the stuff up, that's information they need before the day of the job, okay? Try to get your ducks in a row. The next thing is clarify the change order process, because if you give them a scope of work and there is something there that is clearly outside of the scope, they're going to want more money and you're going to want more money. So assuming who the customer is, the end customer. So you're going to have to make it very clear who gets paid for what. The change order process, meaning do they call you? Do they work it out directly with the customer, the end customer? Are you the end customer? Make it very clear what the process is. They're going to need to know that. A lot of times an email is fine. It used to be, you know, you would do a handshake out there and agree on a price. But in today's world, you're better off if you just get an email. Everyone's got a smartphone, right? Usually you can get some type of confirmation with email from somebody's smartphone or remotely. You can call somebody and they can type it up. Now, don't tell the sub that he has to do something he can't do. Now, what do I mean by this? If the sub is an antennas guy and you're telling them you want to put up another 60 foot on a 300 foot tower and they can't do it, or if they're not qualified to do that, or if it's the first time they've done it, you want to make darn sure they're ready to do it and they have the crew to do it. So just because someone does tower work, that doesn't make them an expert rigger. You understand? Be very clear about the work and the expectations ahead of time. It's very important. So when you hire this sub, are you going to hire them as a partner? And are they going to go in together with you? Or are they just going to be a sub and work for you and represent you on the job site? It's very important that you understand that. Because, I mean, there's just a lot of confusion about that. So you might as well clear that up front, because it's one of those things that when you're going in to face a customer and when they're coming with you, they need to know exactly where they stand. So, and then when that's finished, then deploy, install, make the wireless magic happen. Go crazy. And don't forget, when the job's done, if they've done the job right, the punch lists are done, remember to pay your sub. Make notes of what they did right and what they could have done better. If they didn't finish a job, ask yourself why and whose fault was it? Because there's a lot of finger pointing after the job. Just try to be, fair and balanced. Make Fox News happy there. Try to be fair and balanced, because if they didn't know what they were supposed to do and there was a lot of confusion, and you have to ask yourself, did you not convey that right, or did they understand the scope of work? Or if you just threw the scope of work at them and then they missed something that you may have had a verbal with a customer on, that may be a problem too. So, and last, most important, when you get a good sub, hold on to them. That's very important. So, hey, if you want to be a sponsor on this, let me know. My information's in there, wadeforwireless.com. And just remember to be smart, be safe, pay attention. If it's your plan, then follow it until you have to adapt, improvise, and overcome the obstacles at the site. And that's the way it usually works, because we always have obstacles at the site, don't we? So, hey, don't forget to support the Hubble Foundation. They're there for the families of the fallen. That's what they're there to support. When someone gets hurt at a job site, when a tower climber, let me be specific, who is working on a tower gets hurt or something happens, they're there to support the climber and the family. And if the climber, if something happens to the climber, then they support the families. Dr. Bridget Hester does all that she can to support those families. Trust me, she goes the extra mile and then some. And don't forget, I have a scope of work tutorial out there, which is just for you guys to learn more about that. And it's very important to, the other thing I have is a tower climber or tower worker logbook. The logbook is to not only log your high time, but your drive time. Now, I have a lot of guys say that, you know, they keep their hours. What more do they need? If something goes wrong in a tower, or if you get hurt, they're going to want to know about your high time. And what are you going to say? You climbed every day, what, for about 8 hours? Is that true or is that not true? Is there drive time? Listen, some of you guys work to the point of exhaustion. You might as well log those hours. You want to log your high time. You want to log your drive time, because exhaustion is a big deal. Plus, it's a good way for you to show the foreman or the project manager or the owner of the company what you're doing out there. It's a good way to show them, hey, I'm up in the air 6, 8, 10, 12 hours a day, and then I'm driving 2, 4, 6 hours a day. It's exhausting. And then, obviously, Field Climber's Tower Work Aid book. Yeah, actually, I screwed that up. Field Worker's Aid for Tower Site Work. I just put that together to give you guys a reference, and there's a bunch of links in there. I'm just trying to help you guys out. Plus, I have the Tower Climbing book, an introduction, but I also have some other affiliates in there. If you want to get into project management, I got a toolbox and also a certification kit and CCNA, certification for CCNA, and a lot of good sites for the CCNA. Just remember, you know, be smart, be safe, and pay attention to what you're doing. That's the key here. You guys really have the world out there when you're working, looking at you if something goes wrong. If everything goes right, unfortunately, the only person that cares is a guy that's paying you, because you're going to get paid, or you should get paid. All right, everyone, take care.